So, I'm 42 years old, and you know, this is the age when you're supposed to learn about life, the universe, and everything. But this is also the age where you get to get some perspective. And I started my computing career with this little boy, Sinclair ZX Spectrum. Anybody know this?
Right.
So you're old too. And this guy had 48 kilobytes of RAM, kilobytes, and 3.5 megahertz processor, 8-bit processor. And then this is how I started it all. And then came the PC revolution. And the PC revolution was, you know, an interesting change compared to the 8-bit world. And then the next big change that came along was the internet. And the internet, just like the home computers before that and the PC before that, has profoundly changed our lives. We are able to access any knowledge within seconds. And you know what happened next? My spidey sense was tingling. I felt that the next big revolution is going to be the mobile devices. So I was in late high school or early university at this time, and I went and bought a compact iPad pocket PC, because I wanted to feel what it feels like to have a computer in your pocket. And this wasn't even internet connected at that time, but I wanted to feel it. I wanted to experience it. And now I'm 42 years old, and my spidey sense is tingling again. Because the next revolution I feel is just around the corner, and this revolution is called holographic computer. And we are at the very, very early age of this revolution, like pre-iPhone 1. Age, but I'm convinced that this is going to change the next 5-10 years just as profoundly as the internet or the PC has changed it. So I'm Andras Schwellbart. I'm one of the small emerging experiences MVP, which is our subgroup within the big Windows development MVP group. And you can see my contact details there. I have a blog, I have a Twitter, I have an email, and I even have a UWP Pluralsight course, which I encourage you all to watch, because the more you watch, the more money I get. Okay, and also it's really good. So this talk is called Everything I Know About HoloLens, but whatever fits 45 minutes, and whatever I can actually talk to you about. Okay? So it was last November when I went to the MVP summit and saw the light. And the light was the HoloLens. And I read everything about HoloLens before that, every single work published probably, but I never had the chance to experience it in person. And that's when I had the chance. Now, the bad news is I couldn't get any HoloLens devices here today. So if you guys are here because you want to see it firsthand, unfortunately, this is time to leave. But if you want to stay, then let's talk about this big change that's coming. Now, first of all, there's a couple of terminology going around, and this is such a new industry that even the terminology hasn't been fixed yet. So we kind of know what VR, virtual reality, is. We think we know what AR is, and there is also this new mixed reality thing. So let me just quickly clear all of these things up. I found this on the internet, so this is not me, this is not life-changing thing of the internet that came up with this very clever explanation. So virtual reality brings you into a digital, a virtual world. Okay? And the problem with that is obviously that you're not aware of what's going on around you. I don't know, have you seen this picture? So those guys had no idea that Mark Zuckerberg is just walking right 2 meters from them. They had no idea. AR, or augmented reality or mixed reality, is something that brings digital, additional digital information to the real world. And the first version of this this AR technology is when you have your phone out, and you know, it uses the camera and it superexposes some digital information, like the bus station is that way or something like that. And in order to differentiate this new generation of headsets from AR, both Microsoft and Magic Leap, and I think even Meta, has come up with the word mixed reality. Because the difference is, the key difference is that you don't have to have a phone right here. You wear a headset with basically two displays or some other solution, which allows you to see the digital information. So the AR is not bringing you into a digital world, but it's bringing the digital world into your world, the digital data into your world, okay? And we can see a number of sci-fi movies and others about on how this augmented reality thing works. Now, I want to show you a video, and you have probably seen it, but let's just see this one to get ourselves into the mood, okay?
Look around. Technology is all around us. We use it in every aspect of our lives. It enables us to do amazing things. But what if we could go further? What if we could go beyond the screen? Where your digital world is blended with your real world? Now we can. This is the world with holograms. What will they enable us to do? New ways to visualize our work.
Now I have an idea for the fuel tank.
New ways to share ideas with each other.
How are things going your end?
I just put the images in OneDrive.
Perfect.
More immersive ways to play. New ways to teach and learn.
So put the new trap in the place of the old one.
Now what?
And tighten here and here.
New ways to collaborate and explore the places we've never been.
Look at this formation. Let's take a closer look.
New ways to create the things we imagine. Because when you change the way you see the world, you can change the world you see. This is Microsoft HoloLens.
Okay, so this is the end. So this was the promotional video that Microsoft has put together, actually about a year ago, about on the HoloLens and its possibilities. And for the rest of this talk, I'm going to tell you about the device itself, some very high-level information about how to develop for HoloLens, what it's capable of, what kind of sensors it has, okay? So that you guys can have a picture of its capability.
Look around.
And I want to move to the next one. Thank you. So this is what the HoloLens looks like. And first of all, I'd like you to direct your attention to this band over here, this enclosure. This is what actually sits on your head. So you put it on just like a safety helmet, basically. You don't wear the helmet itself. You wear this band, and this band is what supports the weight of the entire device. And this makes it very, very comfortable to use. It's very convenient. After 2 minutes, you don't feel the weight. Not that it's a heavy device, but still, you just don't forget about it. Okay. This enclosure can also be changed so that it fits your head, and you can tighten it with a little bolt at the back. And action. Yep. Okay, so this is what the HoloLens looks like from the inside. Let me talk about the sensors that it has. At the top, it has a pretty standard RGB camera. There's really nothing special about that camera. Right below that, there is a depth camera. And this depth camera is much like Kinect. So you know an RGB camera, when you use an RGB camera, it says that this pixel is white, that pixel is red. A depth camera works similarly. It says that that pixel is 5 meters from you, this pixel is 2 meters from you. That's what a depth camera does. And HoloLens has one right at the front. It also has 4 positioning cameras. And earlier we thought that these were depth cameras as well, but it turns out they are not. They are visible light cameras. Okay? And what they do is understand your position in space. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. The HoloLens also has a microphone array. Actually, I think it's 4 microphones, pretty sophisticated. And an IMU, an inertial measurement unit, which is just, you know, geek speak for an accelerometer and a gyroscope and probably even a compass. I don't know if it's there. So these are the sensors. This is how the HoloLens understands the world around you. Now, the other thing is how you see what's over there. And this is the display unit, and I have no idea how it works. But it's supposedly a coherent light interference display, so let's just leave it at that. Okay? This display gives you, depending on who you ask, because there's no official data, gives you about 30 to 40% of fields of view, degree fields of view, sorry. That means that it's about the actual digital imagery that you can see is about what you can see if you hold up a phone in your hand at about this distance. So it's smaller than if you look at the monitor on your desk, a big monitor, but it's going to be larger than if you look at your TV from the couch. It's somewhere in between. Okay? HoloLens also has a spatial audio system. Spatial audio is basically consists of two speakers right above your ear, which means that the speakers don't mask out the environment noise. You can still hear everything, just like you can still see everything through the displays. And it adds to that. And it's a spatial sound system, spatial audio system, which means that it is able to simulate not just that the sound is coming from the left or the right. It can also simulate sound coming from ahead of you or behind you or pretty much anywhere in this circle, even better, anywhere up and down. There are some very sophisticated algorithms that make it possible. And this is very important because in this world, unlike a monitor, which is always in front of you, in this world, anything can happen anywhere around you. So one of the ways that the developer can let the user know that something happened is to have a noise right there. And it's so good that you actually look there and then you can see what happened. So the spatial algorithms are so good. The HoloLens also has a CPU, which I don't have to explain what it is, a GPU, which I don't have to explain what it is, and an HPU, which I may have to explain what it is. HPU is a holographic processing unit. It's a special chip designed by Microsoft. There's no other chip, only in HoloLens. So it's not something we use. It's a brand new chip designed by Microsoft precisely to do some of the very heavy calculations that HoloLens requires in a very power efficient manner. So one of the early, if you read the early newspaper reports about HoloLens, the early prototypes were with putting a big strap of hardware, a big box of hardware on your neck with a strap, and you had to carry that around. That is what's in here. Okay? Now, this is the hardware. This is the hard stuff that we have to work with. Let's talk about the software part. And the main important thing to understand about HoloLens is that HoloLens is a Windows 10 computer, an entire computer on your head, which is nothing special because you have a Windows 10 computer in your head. But still, it's untethered, meaning that it doesn't have any wires coming from the headset to a computer, which means that you can just walk around and you don't have to be afraid of falling back or dragging the computer from the desktop or whatever, breaking the connection. You can just walk around. And this was a very important design decision that Microsoft has made in the HoloLens design cycle. Because HoloLens is a Windows 10 machine, there's a pretty familiar start menu over there. This looks like a Windows 10 start menu. It looks a bit different, but it has tiles. It has all its effects. It feels like a Windows 10 start menu because that's what it is. And because HoloLens is a Windows 10 machine, the way you develop for it is exactly how you develop for Windows 10. It's a full Windows 10 computer. So if you want to create an app for HoloLens, you have to create a UWP app, a Universal Windows Platform app. And the same app that you create for a phone or a desktop is actually able to run on HoloLens. It's not going to be a full 3D immersive experience the way a normal XAML or whatever UWP app is going to look like. Is like you if you had a floating virtual screen somewhere. But the thing is, you can look at it from all the angles. And that was one of the most revealing experiences for me when I tried the HoloLens and the photos, the standard Windows Photos app, or at least the HoloLens version of that, came up. And it looked like the standard Photos app. You have the background, you have a couple of photos over there, and nothing special. But this app was right here. And I could just walk close to it. And it turns out that the little images are actually not on the background, but a little bit forward. And I could peek behind the images. And I could see that the actual application had a width. And its toolbar was a little bit beveled. And it was just as if a new dimension has come to life, which actually what it was. So standard UWP apps run on HoloLens, but to get a real 3D experience, which is where it really shines, you're going to have to use a 3D or create a 3D application. And you can create that with Unity, which is the most common used virtual reality and augmented reality development tool. Or you can use it, you can create any other direct 3D content, which will work on HoloLens as well. And the other thing about this is you also have a HoloLens emulator. So even if you don't have a HoloLens, which I guess none of us has yet, you can still, on March 31st, download this HoloLens emulator with the SDK and at least have a feeling for the development experience. Okay? The other thing is that you may have met Microsoft documentation saying not just HoloLens, but Windows Holographic or Holographic Computing. The way Microsoft is constructing this whole thing is that this whole Windows Holographic, this whole development platform is going to be open. And other companies can create their own devices, just like there are a couple of different mice which all work great with a laptop. Other companies can create their own versions of HoloLens, so maybe it will be better in some way or cheaper or you know. There's going to be a choice, a set of devices that you can choose from. So let's talk about the user experience and how this entire HoloLens thing feels to the user. Okay, it works. The first thing that you do with HoloLens is that you look around. And as you look around, what happens is basically as if a laser pointer was coming out from the middle of your head, there's going to be a cursor around you. And that's how you point. The interaction model of HoloLens is very close to the mouse interaction model. You point and you select. And that's exactly how HoloLens works. You point by moving your gaze. And this is a little tricky expression because you're not moving your eyes around, you're moving your head. But it's pretty precise. It can be pretty precise. So you move your head around, you look at something, and then you click. And the actual clicking, this is how you move around. Sorry, you can see that the cursor stands in the middle of the screen, and as the user moves their head around, they can select different parts of the software. So the way that you actually activate one of these things that you looked at, the way you click, is this gesture. And this gesture is detected by the depth camera that is on the front of the HoloLens. So just like Kinect has a skeleton model for the human body, HoloLens has a skeleton model for the hand. Okay? And it works pretty similarly. So this is the click event. And there are a couple of other gestures that also work. For example, this is called AirTap, the click. And there is the bloom gesture, which is this. And this is how you open up the start menu. And there is the drag and drop kind of gesture. And the drag and drop gesture is basically do the AirTap, but you keep it pushed down, and then you move left and right or up and down. But this is a three-dimensional gesture. So if you want to position or resize something in three dimensions, you can also do this. Okay? So let's see these gestures together.
It's a lot to wrap your head around when you're trying to build 3D objects on a 2D screen. With HoloLens, we let you build 3D objects in 3D. So when you have a real holographic thing that's there, and you can walk around it, and it feels like a real object, it just totally changes the relationship between the creator and their creation.
Okay. The other way to input data or whatever your intention to HoloLens is using voice input. Again, this is a full Windows 10 computer. It has a decent microphone. It actually has four microphones. So it can filter out the environment noise and concentrate on your mouth, basically. And you can say whatever you want. Cortana is available on HoloLens. Anything that you use on Windows 10 for speech is available on HoloLens. Voice commands, you know, or you can just go to a cloud service and understand what the user is saying with the help of a cloud. You can do that. There's also I just scrolled with the mouse. This is where we were. So there's also a way to what they call see it, say it. This is somewhat similar to what you have on Xbox. Whenever a button has a label, you can just say the label, and then that button will activate. And you will also have dictation, just like you have on your phone, at least if you're lucky enough to not live in Central Eastern Europe. But, you know, dictation works just like it works on a phone. if you have to input the textual data, there's going to be a virtual keyboard floating, but there's going to be a microphone button that you can press and then you can detect. Okay? So the next thing is spatial mapping. A spatial mapping is one of the key things that HoloLens does great. Spatial mapping is essentially creates a 3D mesh of your environment. If I wore a HoloLens now, spatial mapping would be able to tell where the floor is. It could roughly draw up this chair, you, sir, and as I walk around, the entire room, bit by bit, would be discovered. This is one of the visualizations of how spatial mapping works. So you can actually create an application that looks like this. This is not a trick. This is one of the visualizations. Okay? And this 3D mesh that HoloLens has created and is constantly updating about your room as you walk around, this 3D mesh is available to you as a software developer. And if you're using Unity, it is very easy. You just drag and drop a prefab onto your scene, and then you have the spatial map. And the spatial map, this mesh can be used for anything that you can use it for in Unity. You can put triangles or whatever is on it, and you know, make matrix-like effect. You can do physics with it, which means that if you have a digital, you know, virtual ball in your hand and you throw it, then it's gonna bounce off the chair, and it's gonna bounce on the floor. Okay, so spatial mapping is a pretty powerful thing, and to show you how pretty powerful it is, I have another demo video here.
Conker is a much beloved property that has a huge following. We worked with Rare and came up with the idea of using young Conker.
So the first time Conker walks across the couch and he starts bouncing. Wait a minute, how do you know that's a couch?
Young Conker is basically a platformer, which happens in your room.
If you're in a big room or a small room or a crowded room or a completely empty space, the game has to adapt.
Every single animation is related to the context. For example, if Conker is close to an edge, he will play a vertigo animation.
Seeing these holographic elements and characters added to your world on things that are familiar to you, like your couch, your table, that is going to be the thing that blows many people away.
Oh, but there's not a lot of floor space. Conker runs on the wall more. It's just that ability to adapt, and suddenly you're realizing, oh, I'm making, you know, tactical choices based on the shape of this room. And if I move that table, or I just look at it from a different direction, those tactics change.
Oh, heck!
Stuff, so when you place these so-called holograms in your world, you have a couple of choices on how to place them. And the most trivial one is what is called headlocked content. And this is what Google Glass was about. It's a simple static heads-up display, basically, in your field of view somewhere. And as you move around, it's going to stay exactly the same place. Okay? This is what Google Glass does. So if anybody asks you how HoloLens is better than Google Glass, then the next two stuff is going to be one of the 100,000 million reasons. The other way that you can place holograms is by using what is called an attached frame of reference, which basically means if I start watching a movie with HoloLens and I put it here, and I start walking around, and it's going to stay there. And I always know to look right to access that content. And if I turn around, it's still going to stay there. So I have to look not right, I have to look north, basically, or whatever direction it is. So that's the other way that you can lock content. And the third way is probably the most exciting, is spatial anchors. Spatial anchors means that I can put hologram on this chair, and it's going to stay there. And if I move, it's still going to stay there. It's still there. And it's going to be like this. And the reason this is so important from a usability point of view is that you have, let's say, you have a window, okay? A lot of us have windows. And you have a weather application. Now, if you want to look up the weather for next day, what you do is take out your phone, and if you you can either look at the live dial or, you know, launch the weather application, whatever. If you want to know the weather in real life, what you do is look out the window. But if you want to know the weather, what it's going to be in 2 hours, you can look out the window, but it's not going to tell you. So what you do is you can put a tiny weather app or a large weather app, because it can be just as big as you want, next to the window. And every time you look at the window, you're not just going to see what's outside, but you can see the data from that weather app as well. And you can put all of these applications all around you at their logical place. You will have a recipe book application in the kitchen. And you don't have to open the app, you just go walk out to the kitchen and it's there. Okay? And think about this in an enterprise scenario. It's freaking amazing. Now, I promise to tell you why these four positional cameras are important. And the reason they are important is something that's called tracking. If you have dealt with graphics or video, you know that tracking is basically when the virtual or digital object stays right there. And HoloLens does this extremely well, much better than any of the competition, at least those who have had the courage to show their stuff. Okay, so if I put a virtual glass on this table, it's gonna be there. It's gonna stay there. And it's gonna stay there just like this glass is staying there. And if I move around, it's not gonna jump a bit until it finds its place. It's there. The only difference between a real object and a virtual object is that a real object is not made of light. These holograms are made of light, so they can't cast shadows, they can't darken their environment. They are essentially much like, but much better quality, but somewhat like the R2D2 sample that I showed earlier. Okay, so they're made of light. They're not gonna, if I put on a HoloLens, there's not gonna be a shadow over there where the woman is like that. It's just not gonna happen. Now, if you watch this video, this is from the game that I showed earlier. If you watch this video, look at this, how the camera actually moves very smoothly. And you watch how the digital assets on the screen stay at exactly the same position. This is not being recorded by a $100,000 device and whatever visual tricks. This is exactly what it looks like in the HoloLens. In fact, with the HoloLens, what you can do is create similar recordings. It has a recording mode, which records with the RGB camera what you see and adds the digital content to that. Okay? This is key. This level of tracking is key to having a good immersion. And I'm going to talk about that. Now, the way this tracking works is by using these four cameras. And basically, four cameras are looking out and constantly at least 60 frames per second, maybe more, I don't know the exact number. All four cameras are looking at the environment. And as I move my head, you can imagine how what the camera sees is changing. And that's how it knows how much I moved and in which direction, plus the accelerometer, plus everything else. So you can imagine how much computing power it takes to analyze and process these four cameras. That's what the holographic processing unit, the HPU, is about. In part, there's some other stuff. So I talked about spatial sound, and again, spatial sound is very important for immersion. It has audio clues if something is happening around you. And what's interesting is that if you have a Unity application and you want to add a spatial sound, all you have to do is drag and drop the sound onto the object that is supposed to project that sound. And Everything else is taken care of by the HoloLens hardware and the HoloLens software. So this is just a very short video to show this effect, but then I can show it to you.
You can hear when the wall is crumbling around you, so if you hear like a cracking sound next to you or behind you, you know, you should turn around and check out what's going on.
And the sound that laser makes, every time I hear it, I grin from ear to ear.
So we will have to hear it for ourselves. So Microsoft is aiming and creating this device at this point as an enterprise device, partly because it's freaking expensive, and partly because the enterprise is the area which doesn't mind that it's freaking expensive. So also to make it a proper consumer device, there's going to be a lot of other things that you have to do. For example, a lot of content. You have to have tons of content for it to be a worthwhile consumer device. So Microsoft's not rushing it. They say it's an enterprise device. And one of the key things that you can do as an enterprise, or you have to do, is collaborate with others. So HoloLens can actually support a lot of this collaboration. And one of the first projects that they did, publicly at least, is a cooperation with NASA, you know, the American Space Agency. And this is one such application where you can see this is the Mars, okay? And obviously it's a virtual Mars because this guy is not on Mars, it's not for long in this outfit. And there's the rover, and there's a pretty detailed 3D imagery of the Mars surface around the rover. This is actually real data, so they know how to do this. But the thing is, the scientist can actually walk around the surface of Mars and look down and look closer and decide that this rock is interesting. And you can see how there's two scientists in two different rooms collaborating right now. This guy is in the room that the camera is, and the other guy, John, is somewhere else. And this guy can see where John is pointing with his head, where he's gazing. And this guy is looking here, and they can discuss, yes, that rock looks really interesting. And they can actually instruct the Mars rover to spend the next 1 week of its life to go from here to here and do some experiments. Okay? So, to sum it up, I think that in the next 5-10 years, you should imagine this HoloLens device being not much bigger than an average glass. It's got to be this much on your glasses. And it's going to have similar power or more power. It will have cloud connection because your phone has cloud connection today. And it's going to profoundly change how you live, how you consume digital content, and how you experience the digital and the real world as well. So with that, if you want to know more or want to do more, you can apply to become a HoloLens developer at this address. You can buy the dev kit when it's available for you. Now the thing about the dev kit is that right now it's only available for US and Canada, and it costs $3,000. So it's going to be a while, but hopefully later this year it will be available worldwide, hopefully. I don't have any background information. And you can also learn more about how to do HoloLens development and read all the nitty-gritty details of the Windows Holographic SDKs and APIs over there. And starting March 31st, you will be able to download the HoloLens emulator, some sample codes, and play with it. Okay? And let's come up with some new great ideas. And if you want to talk, let's talk. I think I still have some 5 minutes or so for questions. So let's do that. Yes.
What can you tell about battery?
The battery life. When I was trying the HoloLens, I was estimating it. You know, I had it on for 15 minutes and it dropped a couple of percents. So I was estimating it to be 3, 4, or 5 hours. But now Microsoft is saying that it's actually 2 to 3 hours of active use. So that's when you're actually using. So it's not going to last. This version is not going to last through the whole time.
Did they actually ship any dev kits already? Are there
reviews
by real people?
The first dev kit is going to be shipped at the end of this month. The first wave. So we're very close, but not there yet. Okay. So thank you very much for listening. I'm going to be here today and not so much tomorrow. So if you want to have any questions in private, then you can ask me. Thank you.